This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here's your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Well, we're back live, almost. I guess we are. This is Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
I'm Jamie Jennings, and I'm in Norman, Oklahoma, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for February 10th, episode 2367, and it's brought to you by the Auditors. Thanks, guys. Good morning, Horse World.
I have good news and bad news for you on this Monday morning. First, the bad. It's Monday. But the good news is really good. Jamie and Glenn are here to guide you through another week filled with horse talk and a whole lot of fun. Welcome to Horses in the Morning.
That sounds like that Facebook music when you have like, you know, like a anniversary or something. And they're like celebrating your friends. That's the Facebook music.
Is it?
I think so.
Same.
Anyway, hello, everyone. That one's kind of negative. Monday, by God, we're all waking up.
My Monday. What are you talking about?
You're having a tough Monday. But you know what? By God, you woke up. There you go. It's a good start. True. Good start. I'm going to be super positive today
because
you're
I didn't
a
have
grumpy
a mimosa
bugger
this morning, like I did for the last week every morning.
Did you guys drink too much on the cruise?
Oh, I think some of the parties drank a lot on the cruise.
Hey, don't be judgy. They're on vacation.
No, I mean, I was including myself in part of that.
I drank too much and I wasn't on the cruise, so it's cool. It's cool.
Well, on today's Auditor pre-show, we discussed how half my computers broke while we were while they were turned off last week.
That's not a hard sell. I might have mentioned my husband being naked.
There you go. Okay, and that. And in the post-show, we're going to review what Jamie's been doing wrong on the show all of these years, as we had a private auditor meeting on the cruise, and I need to go over the results with Jamie.
I'm a little nervous about this. I feel like I'm going to be like... You know, it's when your parents are like, we have to talk. Or a boyfriend is like, we have to talk. You're like immediately anxious about it. You have anxiety. Yeah, that's what's happening.
Well, if you want to hear that good stuff, quality entertainment,
yay,
you can become an auditor just by going to horseradionetwork.com and clicking on the auditor banner on the right side of the page for as little as $3 a month. And on Horses in the Morning, we have eventers Rick Wallace and Jonathan Holling. They're here to share some exciting news and give some tips on running a clinic at your farm. Jamie and I share vacation adventures. We have some equestrian first world problems. And Deanne from Horse Nation discusses things skiers and riders have in common. I tried skiing once. I failed miserably. I was not good at that.
Did they do that behind the cruise ship? You can like get out there.
There's some wake.
Give it a go.
All right. Daily Winnie time. Actually, we have some auditor birthdays, but we had this one on the ship. Marie Cornell, who was playing Julie 1 or 2, I can't remember, cruise director for our group, had her birthday. And we all sang to her at dinner the one night. So happy birthday to Marie. Bridget Murphy, happy birthday to you. Roxana Mainster and Shay Abelson, it's their birthdays as well. I went back as far as I could and went forward as far as I could. I hope I didn't miss any. I apologize if I I got some crap.
You did this to yourself.
On the cruise who were like, my birthday's December 28th. I never get my birthday done. So I'm just going to have to make a long list this year. And we're going to take 20 minutes to read all the birthdays between Christmas and New Year's when we're off.
Okay. You do that. So I wanted to give my daily Winnie because I know you're going to talk about your trip. I went on a little trip. And I went on a trip with my husband.
I saw a picture of you in a cockpit of a very big plane.
News? Breaking news. Chad actually is a real pilot.
Really? He wasn't just wearing a uniform and going to some strip club every day?
I thought maybe he was like wearing the pilot's uniform out, but then he would like switch into his flight attendant outfit when he got there, you know, the scarf around the neck thing. And so, no, it turns out he's an actual pilot. So he calls me last Tuesday, I think, Monday, and he was like, hey, think you can get to Dallas in the morning? What? He's like, I have a trip and I'm laying over in Guadalajara and there's some really fun people on this trip and I think you'd enjoy it. And I was like, are you giving me 6 hours notice to go to Mexico?
Call you at midnight, say be here in the morning.
Yeah. And he goes, yeah, I am. And I was like, I'm on it. Like, call a farm sitter. I call the in-law. I'm like, why the hell did I move to godforsaken Oklahoma if I couldn't just drop my kid off at a moment's notice with the grandparents? So I pulled that card out. I was like, here, I moved here. Take my child. I'll see you guys in 2 days. And really the next day. And went to Guadalajara and he was the pilot and we flew down and back. And
did you get to sit in the cockpit the whole time?
You know what? They did not let me fly.
They kind of looked
fly. They kind of closed that door. But I did get to go up in the cockpit at first. And oh, my God.
There's a lot of buttons.
I've been married to this man for 10 years and we've been together 12. And I totally got like all like, oh, my God, like all girly. We're really neat. I was fangirling on my husband. And it's really weird because it's a part of life that I don't see. You know, he gets up sometimes in the middle of the night, goes to work and comes back 3 or 4 days later. And, you know, it's like he has his work life and then he has his home life. And so it was kind of like a sneak peek of his like a behind the curtain of what the rest of his life is actually like. So it was really good. And he
do people whine and nag at him there too?
Huh? I am not a nag. And I definitely don't whine. I drink wine, but I don't whine.
There are a lot of buttons in a cockpit, is what I saw when I looked at that picture.
My God. He was like, push this button. No. Jamie, push this button. You have to push this button right now. No, I don't want to. Jamie, push the button. I don't want to push a button. And I pushed the button and he was like, there, you just turned on the air conditioner for all the passengers. And I was like, okay. And he was like, I need you to start the generator. Hit this button. No, I don't want to. I don't want to touch anything because I'll touch something wrong and I'll like tweak. I'll twitch. And
I'm spiral. Like,
I go to touch the button and my hand is shaking. I can't handle the pressure of that. You do that. And I'm going to sit in the back and enjoy myself. But it was funny. Well, I was sitting cool in the middle. I was sitting in the middle of the plane on the aisle and talk about feeling like a rock star. So all these flight attendants and Chad had been on this trip together for days. And the flight attendant comes up to me and I'm in the aisle and she like kind of walks up and she's like, hey, are you? And I looked at her and I go, yes, I am. And she's like, come with me, please. We've got a whole row for you. And I stood up and walked to the back. And I'm not kidding you. People around were like, is she famous? Like, who is that? I felt like somebody important. And everybody stood up to like see who I was walking back. Are you? Yes, I am. Okay, come with me. We got something special for you. Who is that? Yeah.
Did you get free drinks?
Oh, my God. Yes. Actually, it was morning time and I'm like, oh, what do you want to drink? I'll get you anything. How about a Bailey's and coffee? And he was like, no, you can't have that. I'll get you a Bloody Mary. I was like, Bloody Mary it is.
Yeah, we figured out the whole drinking in the morning thing. So, yeah, they pretty much mimosas and Bloody Marys is what.
I can't do it, man. I'm dysfunctional drinking in the morning. I'm not a day drinker.
Did they allow him to come on and do the announcements and say, oh, you're flying at 45,000 feet. We'll be there in 3 hours. And my wife's in the back.
No.
No.
The pilot was one of these like rule like followers and wouldn't let him do any of that. No announcements at all. The pilot did the like captain did everything. And he was kind of, but he took off. He let him to do all the takes off and landings that I was on. So they usually switch off. It was very smooth.
Very smooth. Good.
I actually didn't even know he had landed until he hit the brakes. So anyway, we're boring. This is boring, everybody. But it was fun. He's actually a pilot and it was awesome.
Well, we went on a cruise with about 30 listeners last week. And
I know. And congratulations on making it back. Like, you didn't die. Like, I thought you might.
Well, there were a few ill ones the last day. We'll talk about that. I want to thank my cruise director, Charlotte Marie, for all of their efforts helping guide everything along and put everything together for the game show and all that stuff.
And they didn't die either.
No,
nobody
didn't
died
die either. Charlotte didn't roll off the deck. She did great. and I want to thank Michelle at MEI Travel for all the help in getting it set up. Everybody wants to go again. They're all like, when's the next one? Everybody wants to do Alaska next. So that might be the next one. Also, a special shout out to my fun travel buddies, Morgan and Corinne. Robin's kids were along. They're like 9 and 12. And we got along great the whole cruise. I think my mentality is about that. So
you do great with kids. I mean, you're surprisingly, like, I trust you with my child. It's weird.
We had a great time. And I went, you know, they made it a fun cruise. It's always fun having kids along. And they were delightful. So Robin, you did good. And it was fun meeting horse husbands. And they all had a great time. Some of them even subscribed to our show and are probably listening for the first time right now. I'm glad we had a great time. We stopped in Key West. We stopped in Nassau. We stopped at their private island.
Did you get off the boat in the Bahamas?
Yes, we got off in Nassau. Had a great time. We did a terrifying bike tour. It was one of those bikes. Do you remember when you first learned to? This might have been before you, where you had to pedal backwards to stop on your bike. It didn't have the handbrakes.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
That's the kind of bikes they had. And none of us had ridden any of those for about 40 years. So that was an experience going up and down these hills in Nassau with the traffic that was a freaking nightmare trying to run your ass off the road. And so we determined the most dangerous part of this cruise was that bike tour, but we had a great time, partly because your adrenaline was going, trying not to get killed.
I mean, when you get off a boat in a place like that, aren't there people waiting to like rob you and stuff?
No, actually it was pretty good. And our tour guide seemed to know everybody in town. He was saying hi to everybody as we're going by. And they give you little wireless headsets, Bluetooth headsets. So he's talking.
Oh my God,
the whole
you
time.
Guys are such nerds.
And we got to see a lot of different stuff. We got to taste rum. We got to taste multiple kinds of wine. And then we went driving or riding again with all those crazy people. They don't have the same driving rules we do. As a matter of fact, I don't really think they have any, to be honest. It's just everybody goes and you hope you get there.
I mean, you might as well been on a Segway with an earpiece talking to this guy. Like, that is, I wonder if they're from here. No.
You started going slow in these bikes and they're going all over the road. It was not my bike, that's for sure.
Nobody was curious as to whether you were a tourist or not.
We had a great time. It was fun. there were five cruise ships in Nassau that day.
Yeah.
So there were like 30,000 people in town. So it was pretty busy. We're glad. Then the last day was we ate dinner together every night. We had a great time. The last day was a sea day, which everybody looks forward to the sea days because you can usually go up to the pool and do all of that. Well, this sea day we rained in the morning. It's first bad weather we had. And then it was that storm that came across the country and the tornado that hit Aiken. I don't know if you heard about that.
We got snow because of that storm.
Yeah, it took out the farm in Aiken, unfortunately. Took out a big farm there. No horses or people were hurt, but we heard about that because Mogi, who was on the trip, built the cross-country course on that farm. Apparently, there were cross-country jumps in the trees because of that storm. Well, that created about 60, 80 mile an hour winds down here in Florida, which kicked up the seas a bit. So the last day was a little rocky. And probably the second most rocky time we've had on a boat. A lot of our group spent it in their cabins.
Like those tiny little prisons underneath the thing, wouldn't that make you more sick? Don't you have to look at them?
Laying down seemed to help, although there were a few times that night I thought I was going to roll out of bed.
Oh my God, that is my nightmare.
You wouldn't have done well. You would not have done well. And all of us were, a couple of us for a couple days after the cruise, you feel like you were rocking. I've never had that before in all the cruises we've been on. I had that for the whole day after.
Oh yeah. No, I saw a lot of the posts like, I was doing this and I'm still rocking the next day. I was like, no, never, never.
Everybody survived. Confirmed. We all lived. It was good. It's part of the adventure. And then this is what happened. Horse. I'm going to mention a horse now. So we're heading home. We drop Charlotte off. We drive home from Tampa. We drop Charlotte off, who had ridden with us. And apparently while we were on our way home, Nigel decided to do a damn it, Zeus, hashtag damn it, Zeus, and take on the fencing. So apparently he had a discussion with the fencing and lost and shredded his back leg.
Oh, no.
So we got home right as the vet had left and wrapped it all up. But Jana, our landlord, luckily was right there and saw this go down. And, you know, horses will find any way to hurt themselves. Fine fencing. But he decided to tangle with it. So she showed Jennifer pictures. I didn't look because, you know me, I can't look at that stuff. And it was pretty bad. The vet said he didn't think there was any underlying injuries, but he sure did shred things. And his hawk yesterday was about the size of a small watermelon.
DM me the photos, Jen. I want to see all of it.
Jennifer, I'm sure she'll probably post them someplace. She, for the first time right now, this minute, is going out to take the bandage off because she was supposed to keep it on for a couple days. But he is not happy because he has to be in a stall, and he hates being in a stall. Hates it. So she's been acing him. We had to find some yesterday, and just to keep him from tearing things apart further, just like Zeus. And that means he can't be in a stall by himself because he would go absolutely ballistic, which means that little Scooter's been locked in his stall for 2 days, too. So it's been fun since we got home. And then my computers died this morning and I couldn't even get the show started right. So there we go. It's been interesting since we got home, and I just hope that he's okay. Because poor Jennifer, this is her time of year to ride. You're in Florida. This is when you ride. This is when she was going to take him to some endurance rides. She was getting all warmed up for that, and now he's out of commission for weeks.
That sucks. I'm so sorry.
You know, Jen, what really sucks about it is you don't know with an injury like this until a couple of weeks whether there's anything permanent.
You know what she's going to have to do, Glenn? You know what really sucks is that you're going to get a new horse.
What
she
really
needs
sucks
a backup
about that
horse.
Is, according to our lease, we're only allowed to have two. So we'd have
to. Pony's got
to
go. Pony's got to go.
He's the only sound one. So if anybody had gotten hurt while we were gone, I thought it would have been Scooter, the pony. But nope, it was Nigel who decided to cause problems on our way home.
That sucks.
Yeah,
sorry.
That wasn't fun. And poor Jennifer, I feel bad for her too.
Well, I got a couple new horses in training, and I actually had to video one and send it to Monty and his people and ask why this happens. I got a couple mares in, and this time, because I had all of last week off, and the weather was supposed to be nice for like the first 5 days. I decided to take two horses from the rescue in training. And so I got two mares, Mad About Grace and Classy Notes. And Mad About Grace was a very successful racehorse. And she is about 16-1 and rode. I mean, for Oklahoma, she won like $70,000 in Oklahoma. So that's pretty good. Usually it's like she won 42 races and she won $1,800. Yeah. So.
Yep. Did I lose you?
Are you there?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm here. Yep.
Okay. I didn't hear you. Yeah. So she was a nice racehorse. And then the other one, about 15 hands. I don't really know much about it, but the history of that one. But the first one I told you about, Mad About Grace, this is really cool. The owners, she was very successful, and the breeders kind of were following her career. And as she started going downhill in the, you know, because they all get to claiming races and then like leisure claiming races, as soon as that happened to her, her breeder bought her back, claimed her, and donated her to Horse and Hound.
Huh. Well, that's
are you
nice.
Paying attention
yes,
to me right
I
now?
Am.
You're not listening. You are surfing the computer right
actually,
now, and
I
it
was
irritates
checking
the
live
crap
feed
out
to
of
make
me.
Sure we were still on the air.
Mm-hmm. I know when you're not paying attention. Anyway, so the video I took of the one other one is a weaving. I just weaving is a conundrum for me. I don't understand why horses weave. It's like an endorphin release or something. Anyway, but she's walked in the pasture quite a bit too. And so I sent some video asking what it was. And now she's on omeprazole. And I got a bunch of omeprazole was just donated to all the training horses. So that's pretty good. So a couple new mares to play with.
Well, you know, you've been pretty lucky that you haven't had any really, really, really bad habits with the ones you've gotten in, actually.
Yeah, you
like
know,
massive cribbing and weaving and
Yeah.
A lot of racehorses weave. I mean, that's pretty common.
This is the first one that I've had come in that weaves. And it's, I mean, I should post a video on the auditor's page because it is aggressive. Like, she has pushed all the bedding and the I think Fordley have rubber mats, but all the bedding is like up on the right and left side where she puts her head out and weaves. And it's distressing because she's not thin, you know, like, stop moving. Because you're burning calories and you're skinny. Stop it. Now I know why she was so much thinner than the other one. And she, when I have her out in the pasture, she's quit this now. And she's out with her friend that she came with. She would walk the fence like psychotically, like up and pivot in the same spot and come back. Like, you know, when you go to a zoo, a terrible zoo where the animals have been caged forever, mm-hmm. and they just they've walked a path. It's like she's doing that. I'm like, you just got here. Like, she's not a caged animal. She gets ridden every day. She's in the barn for a couple hours, outside for the rest of the time, has a round bale out there, has a friend out there. I was like so frustrated. But I think she's calming down outside, but inside she's still nutty.
I think, you know, we've talked about weaving before on one of our Wednesday segments, but it's been a long, long time.
Let's do a segment on weaving. Yeah, I get somebody.
It's been a long time since we talked.
I don't remember it. So it'll be interesting to have a veterinarian's perspective. I actually sent a video to my vet and I have to see what her text message back were. But
she hasn't blocked you yet. You're still good with your vet.
Thank God she hasn't blocked me. Lucas is on her kid's t-ball team, so they can't get rid of us.
So she, not only that, she has to see you when she brings her kid to baseball.
We're social now. Like I said, I have a couple of friends. Most of them I pay.
Funny how that works. Jennifer's really good friends, actually, with our farrier.
Who's coming me too. Me right. too. I pay her every time I come. She comes. She's great.
Well, you're my friend and I pay you. So there we go.
Look, see, this is how this all works.
Does anybody, maybe the listeners could let us know, do you actually have friends you don't pay? Maybe their world's different than ours.
Or pay you.
Yes,
there's exactly. Got to be some connection. I mean, yeah, I guess so. Well.
Yeah, because you do become friends with people at work. It's kind of the same thing. You get paid to be there, right? So, you know, people that work in offices have friends in the office that are paid to be there. Maybe you really only do have friends that are paid to be around you.
We should start cruising around like rap stars then. I mean,
with our posses.
Yeah. Posse.
I did last week on the cruise, actually.
Throw money out. They pay you. See,
about 30 of them. So, and they were paying me. You know, if you think about it, they're most of them were auditors. So yeah.
They give you $1 a month. I mean, it's a big deal.
That's funny. Well, let's get to our first guests. Our first guests of the week are Rick Wallace from Team Wallace and Jonathan Holling of Holling Eventing, both eventers. And the name Wallace probably rings a bell because Lisa has been on our show a few thousand times over the years, and that would be Dad we're talking to. We're having you guys on for a couple of reasons. One, we're going to make a big announcement here, and then two, we're going to do Clinics 101. We've had a lot of listeners ask about running clinics at their own farm. How is it done? How much can you expect to pay? You know, how's it all work? So we're going to go over that with Rick a little bit later.
Let's get to the most exciting announcement that I have heard in a long time. Well, oh my God.
Well, let me give a tiny bit of background here. So
blah, blah, blah.
The Eventing Radio Show was owned and run by the Eventing Riders Association for many, 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 many years. And of course, we had some terrific hosts hosting that show over the last many, 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 many years. And they've done a terrific job. But the Eventers Riding Association had different priorities this year and notified us that they wanted to stop being the sponsor of the Eventing Radio Show. So that kind of left it open. And at the same time, I get this email from one Rick Wallace saying, hey, we're looking at doing a show. What can you guys do to help? And I said, hey, guess what just came available? So, and it happened
it's
all
made
it
meant to be.
A couple days. I mean, it was a couple days of each other. Well, so I have a very special announcement. Rick and John are going to be taking over the Eventing Radio Show from this point on, and congratulations, guys, and welcome to the Horse Radio Network.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, great. Thanks, Glenn. Thanks, Dave.
Now, we've been doing this 12 years, and it took you long enough to get here.
I know, right?
Do you know, I saw John. I'm Facebook fans of both of you, and I saw Jonathan post something about doing a show with Rick, and I was like, dang, man, that'd be so great to have on the network. And then the next day, Glenn's like, guess what? I mean, I'm super excited. Like, I've always loved the Eventing Radio Show as an eventer, but to have Rick Wallace and Jonathan Holling together, I mean, first of all, are you guys friends?
Well, we were until we started doing this.
We're really good friends. We've been close for many, many years. You know, John and Jen are both intricate parts of my life throughout the years, and I love both of them to death. And John and I, you know, we get along really well. We like to pick on each other, which is a good thing. So I'm excited about it.
We don't know anything about that, do we, Jamie? So,
and John, what do you think? What's your answer, John?
Exactly. See if it's different.
No, we're not friends. No, Rick and I, we've been friends for a very long time. You know, the horse world is a small world. And so obviously over the years, we've gotten to be very close friends. And between myself and Jen and Rick and Briggs and Lisa and Timothy, we're all pretty good pals. And it just seemed like a natural fit to try to put a show together. And I was sort of laughing when it all came together that we could do this Eventing Radio Show. It just, the timing was perfect. So we're excited about it.
Do you know?
Yeah. And I gotta give a shout out to Timothy Harfield, because what Timothy did, that's Elise's husband, is, and my son-in-law, is he said to me as we were doing this and they were watching some of our tapings, we were with the Horse Talk Show with Louisa Barton doing the John and Rick show. And he looked at me right before, Glenn, I got a hold of you, and said, you know, you should get a hold of Glenn and talk about doing a podcast with them. And he had no idea about ERA dropping the sponsorship for that, the ERS show. So here we are. You know, thanks, Timothy.
Well, you guys are taking over the second longest running equestrian podcast out there, period. I mean, Stable Scoop is the longest running, and then Eventing Radio Show is the second longest running podcast. So, you know, that's saying something.
That's a lot of pressure is what that is, Glenn.
11 years that show's been going, and they're, you know, podcasts on average make it 6 months before they die. That's the average in the industry. And you're taking over a show that's been 11 years. So don't screw it up is what I'm basically
saying.
Don't
F it up.
Yeah. I feel confident we can get 3 months.
Okay, good.
Well, 3 months between the two of us. So that's six total.
Okay.
Well, John and Rick, I want to tell you that when I started this podcast, that Glenn hired me to do a daily live radio show about horses. My husband said, oh, that's fantastic. What are you going to talk about after a week? And that was 10 years ago. So trust me, it just flies by. And there's just something that ridiculous in the eventing world that happens every week. You'll have plenty.
Oh, believe me, it happens every day. John and I go back and forth on different issues. And in fact, I think we were just over the weekend going through one, so we will have plenty of material to cover.
Well, I wanted to ask you, how is it going to change? What do you guys hope to do with the show? What do you hope to, you know, how is it going to be a little different? I know you both listened to the show, so, you know, with all the terrific hosts we've had in the past. So what are you guys picturing for the future?
Rick, go. That's what we always do. You know what? I think what we want to do is really bring some humor and life to what we do on a daily basis, and include, you know, everybody from the beginner novice to the advanced riders that might be making the Olympic team, and kind of join us all together, because we are a whole big family. I think there's a lot of things that go in and out from organizers at events to competitors and volunteers that all have interweaving lives together. And I think we want to combine those all and really join us together and talk about the issues and talk about things that might be hard to talk about, that people don't want to talk about, but you got to talk about it. And sometimes you'll get it right. Sometimes you'll get it wrong. And I think that's what will make the show good.
Absolutely. The only thing I would add to that is I would just say, you know, just where Rick started, that is the whole idea is to have fun. I mean, we all got into this horse world because it was a good time.
And you know, for sure, there's going to be some serious topics, but if we can't find the humor in it, then we're doing the wrong thing. So I for one, and I know Rick feels the same, I'm going to have a good time doing it, because otherwise
I think it's the only way to do it. And, you know, we do have personalities that are really good with each other, because, you know, when John likes to make me the bad cop a lot, and he'll admit to that. So I'll take the
You're
bad
so good
cop.
At it.
Yeah. And he'll take the good cop. But, you know, sometimes I switch it around and he gets, you know, to take the bad cop on sometimes.
Well, guys, we're looking forward to this. That starts this month, right? We're going to have two episodes coming out this month.
Yeah, and that would be in association with the John and Rick show. That's premiering. What's our date there for John? Is it when are we going to do our media streaming on Facebook?
Yeah, we're doing that on the 13th. And then, Glenn, you tell us, actually. I'm not even sure when the first
podcast is. I was going to say, who's in charge here?
Well, I think that's for our Facebook Facebook streaming show. And then we're going to be doing the podcast. And I think, Glenn, when's the date?
We looked at the 15th and 30th, so it's going to be in that neighborhood.
So you guys are going to do two different shows?
Well, actually, correct. Yeah, that's right. Okay. So it's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to having you guys involved and having you a part of it, the team. And John, to answer your question, you emailed me earlier, seeing that you are literally a bike ride from my house, it'll take 5 minutes. I will come help you set up the equipment so you don't sound like crap. Okay.
Oh, thank God, because I got it all hooked up here, man, and it is looking like it should work, but I'm not real good at this, so yeah, I'll need your help.
All right, I'll ride my bike over, and we'll get that fixed.
I appreciate it.
Thanks, John. I know you're going to bail out on us. Have fun today, and Rick's going to hang with us for a little bit to answer some listener questions. Thanks, John.
All right, I'm going to go hop on the next horse. I appreciate it. All right, thanks, guys. Bye.
So, Rick, we have had a couple of listeners asking us that are wanting to, they have bigger farms, or, and this isn't all English and Western, so we're going to do kind of a generic version of this. We're doing a clinics 101. They want to do a clinic, and Jamie's starting to do clinics now. She's one of, what, four certified Monty Roberts instructors in the country now?
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
She's starting to do clinics, so I'm sure she'll have some questions along the way, too. So I'm at my house, and I want to do a clinic, and I want to invite people over and, you know, maybe make some money, maybe not. I know that's probably not the goal of most people who start clinics, but maybe it is. First of all, how do you identify a clinician, and how do you know which ones are, you know, professional riders or whoever? Where do you start?
I believe for me, where I start is who really inspires me to do better in the sport that I'm doing. So eventing. So Lucinda Green is a good example of who I started to do a clinic back in November after the Jockey Club. So you go out in respect to what your sport is. And I think, you know, being immersed in that sport, you're going to know who really inspires you personally, and that who you may feel would inspire others is how you kind of choose your clinician.
Jamie's never going to be hired. Jeez. So, how, you know,
well, you know, if you're, I'm not to interrupt. I guess there's two different topics there. If you're a person wanting to put on a clinic, being the host, you know, you would be searching, as you were saying, Lynn, out for somebody to do that clinic. If you're a clinician wanting to, you know, get out there and do clinics, then I think it's important just to really be out there on Facebook and social media, really putting out what you want to do and how you want to do it and get people interested.
You should really have a number one podcast, Jamie. That would help.
What's funny is I just talked to Rick's daughter, Elisa, about coming out here to do a clinic. I'm trying to get her to do a clinic at the local eventing facility. I wanted to host her myself, but I don't have enough like things for her to, you know, to do. So I'm trying to get her hooked up with the Feather Creek down the street, because I'd love to do a clinic with Elisa. She has she kind of adds Lucinda Green, by the way, is the most amazing clinician I have ever been involved with. I mean, she,
I agree with you.
she comes out to the cross country course with like a box, and the box is just supplies and bits and anything that you need. She is going to, you need this bit, put this on. Good. Do this. She's just so great. And she's such a wonderful way of explaining things. Good.
You're exactly right. And Lucinda cares. I mean, she watches every single moment of every single person, whether it's beginner, novice, to, again, like I've talked in the past, up to the advanced. And she cares. And that's why she has a box of bits. And that's why she has a box of ear things that go in so that you can hear her talk to you. She is really a great lady to host and stay at my house when we're doing it. She has things that she likes, and that sourdough bread toasted with avocado and lemon, and water. You know, you get all the things she wants, she puts it in a bag, and she goes to work. There's no time down. She goes at it. So you want to find a clinician that cares, and you want to find somebody that is really willing to really put the effort out there, and not just somebody that's there to make a buck.
Glenn, I want the car at 72 degrees when you pick me up at the airport.
You're going to have a rider, Jamie. It's going to be like 12 pages long.
So yeah, and then she's flying in, and you want to pick her up, we'll let you do it. But it's kind of a long way, I think.
So
that's great.
Let me ask you this, and this is the big question, obviously, is how much can people expect to pay? How does the paying part work? So when you're hiring a clinician, they'll give you a rate or whatever. Are you expected to pay their travel costs and their lodging? How's all that work?
Yeah, they definitely will have a daily rate of what they're expected to be paid in a day. And so what you have to do is calculate out how you're going to have, probably most common is 20 riders a day. Putting into group rides can be managed. So you got to go calculate what their daily rate is. You do have to pay their travel and their lodging. And so you put that into the calculation, and then you have whatever the fees are for that facility. If you're doing it at your own facility, you can charge a small fee for the facility use to people coming into the clinic. If you're not using your facility, of course, you've got to pay a facility fee for where you're going. So all those are put into the calculation, and you come up with your clinic cost per person. Go ahead.
I was going to say, did you put in there any money for you to make? Do you buffer it with anything for yourself for the trouble, or is it just kind of a labor of love?
You've got to kind of look at what the outcomes are for the cost, because if you put the cost at so much that somebody can't afford to come, then you're not going to have anybody coming to your clinic. So yeah, definitely, if you're looking at using your own facility, then your facility fee that you would charge kind of helps you offset some costs. Mm-hmm. If you're putting in things with a little over cap and you're going to ride in the clinic yourself, then you can probably make it so that you can get in with a couple rides that you don't have to pay for. You're not going to make there's not a lot of money to make off of clinics. It's more for the educational side and your love of trying to educate people and getting the right clinicians in there. Sometimes a host can do it really right and have the right facility and probably make some good money, but it's just all depending on how you schedule it out and where you're going to go to do it.
And I've talked to a number of people who have done very successful clinics and pretty much do it as part of their business. And what they have told me is that you want the riders to cover the costs, and you make your money on the auditors. So if you can, you know, get 50 auditors at $50 a day, that's where you can actually make your money. Do you agree with that?
I do. And lately, people have emailed me or sent text messages or something about auditing Lucinda's clinic. And, you know, I feel that that is the right answer, that you can charge your auditors to come in. But I also, in building Lucinda's trips over here to Ocala, I want to offer the auditing for free, just to get people to come in and start watching and spreading the word. Because a lot of people, even though they know Lucinda Green's an amazing, event rider, she's a cross country queen, and she won 6 badmintons on 6 different horses, they're a little intimidated. But when they come and watch her, so you get your auditors in there that are watching, they see that she's not intimidating and she's actually really down to earth and really helps you. So yes, to your answer on auditors would be a way to do it. I think when you're building your new clinician hosting job, that you probably need to forego that until you get it built up to where you really have people seeking to come in and audit.
Great advice. And you know, what's funny is I actually was an auditor of a Lucinda clinic because I wanted to go see this icon in my sport. I mean, she's like the greatest, you know, and I was expecting her to be like rude, you know, and she was so nice and open and warm and welcoming. I expected, I guess, a little bit of a diva, and she is not. She is like, get her hands dirty with everybody. She's just amazing.
Yeah. And I had the great opportunity to do the live commentating with her at the Ocala Jockey Club 2019 in November. So I sat next to her for 3 days, and weather, that I don't know if y'all remember, the weather during the Ocala Jockey Club was not the best. And in fact, I blamed her for bringing England weather to Florida during that time. But she was just the best. She was the trooper. She like put on totes and gloves, and you know, she was always considerate, but she would look at me all the time and say, "What did you just say? Because I don't understand what you said." Because when you talk the American talk and you talk the English talk, we have different ways of putting things together. And so, you know, we laugh with each other at vernacular indiscretions that we didn't understand each were saying. So that's a fun thing too.
Well, this turned into a Lucinda.
Sorry. I just here. So, didn't mean to make it
that's
that.
Great. But I mean, I've spent time with Lucinda at WEG. We were stuck in the pouring down rain, ironically enough, on a golf cart together for some time. So,
Okay. Last question then about that. How do you market this clinic? Do you just use social media? How does that work?
Well, obviously social media is going to be your biggest avenue to really get it out there. If you are lucky enough to have a lot of emails or constant contact, outgoing reach, that would be good. But there are, on social media, Facebook, and other things, companies that market, like for eventing, there's the eventclinics.com that you can go on and put your event. And actually run it through there, register, collect money. And it's very easy to do at no charge. So I think if you do your homework on how to really present it and they help you market it, there are things out there on social media and the web that you can just Google to start finding, creating an equestrian clinic, and you'll find a lot of information there.
Okay, gotcha.
Well, this has been great. You know what? I think you ought to host your own show sometime.
I think he's pretty good. You should hire him.
Yeah.
Thanks. I would love that opportunity. When can I start?
I don't know. Let's. How about the end of the week? Because we need to get that one would, out. So
that would be terrific. Well, as I leave on Lucinda Green thing, I would just like to say she's here March 14th and 15th here at Ocala, and we'll be doing an eventing clinic at John Hollings. I'll be hosting it.
And by the way, John Hollings, literally a half a mile from my house. So if anybody's a listener and wants to stop over and, you know, meet Scooter and say hi, you can do that too while you're here. So
definitely no auditing fees for this clinic. So you're welcome to come and watch.
Oh, good.
And, you know, maybe in a couple years or a couple more times that she comes, we'll start an auditing fee. But right now, just come and watch and enjoy.
And that's this weekend, right?
March. March. Okay. 14th and 15th.
March 14th.
Get a pen, Glenn. Come on.
Terrific. Well, you know what? I think Jennifer will certainly be over watching that for sure. Well, thanks, guys. We appreciate it. And thanks, Rick. We look forward to hearing your first episode of the Eventing Radio Show.
I look forward to it. Y'all have a great day.
All right. Take care.
Thanks.
Well, there you go. There's a big announcement for coming back here from vacation.
I'm so excited. I love both of these guys because they are opinionated and they're not afraid to put themselves out there. And it's awesome.
That's where Elisa gets it from, maybe.
I know, right? I'm definitely. She will.
She'll let you know the way.
Remember
the first time we had her on and she called you out? I mean, the first time we had Elisa Wallace on this show was probably 10 years ago. I mean, it was a long time ago. And
she had gotten a Mustang. She got a Mustang for eventing. And I was like, oh, my God, I've always wanted to do that. She's like, do it, idiot. Like, why? What are you waiting for? And 3 Mustangs later. Okay, whatever you say, boss.
Well, you know, CBD oil is hot. God, there must be 1,000 stores down here now in Florida for this. And we're helping clarify some of the questions about it with Green Flower Botanicals, one of our terrific sponsors. We're going to hear from them right now. We're going to come back, and we have Deanne from Horse Nation. We also have, I have a happy story that involves a turtle. And a very prolific turtle. So that's coming up in a little bit as well. And now our own Dr. Wendy Ying speaks with Roger from Green Flower Botanicals in a series we call CBD Oil 101.
Well, in our continuing series about CBD oil, we're going to discuss how to use CBD oil to treat some chronic inflammatory diseases like EPM, Lyme, and fibromyalgia. Roger, how can CBD oil help us with these problems?
Well, again, Wendy, CBD, again, probably one of its big claims to fame is its anti-inflammatory properties and anti-anxiety properties. A lot of people know about that. So it can be very effective for the type of issues that you're talking about. But also along with that, some people don't really recognize that CBD or cannabidiol, as it's actually the long-form name, is a neuroprotectant. And so it works in with the central nervous system in the limbic and paralimbic system in the brain, and can be used and can be highly successful for all kinds of neurodegenerative conditions as well.
Yeah, like the fibromyalgia in people and Lyme disease and EPM, that's all we think about those as neuro diseases, but also it's an inflammation of the nerves that's causing them to malfunction. So we need something more than just pain relief, and CBD oil can help with, like you're saying, to protect the nerves and cause them to be less, to fire less aggressively.
Yeah, I mean, actually, you know, you're getting, attacking it from several vantage points there. But, you know, the interesting thing is that all those things that you're mentioning can really take people for a loop, can be very difficult for them to find some kind of solution. So one of the things I would just say is, hey, it's really worth a try, because we're seeing some incredible results out there with the kinds of things that you're mentioning. And if you're struggling and you can't find anything and everything you're trying is not working, do yourself a favor and get a hold of some CBD oil, because it really could be a game changer for you.
Well, that's great. And how can people find out more about Green Flower Botanical products?
Sure. You just go to greenflowerbotanicals.com. And all of our products are listed there on our website, and a whole wealth of information as well and research to learn more about these things. And also make sure, if you choose to try some of the products, to use a special coupon code we have for HRN listeners. Just use coupon code HRN, and that'll get you 20% off your first order with us.
If you show your horses, please check with your federation on the legal use of CBD oil. Well, I think we have time. Pick your 3 favorite equestrian first world problems, and that's what we have time for today.
First world problem. Why would you tell me I only had time for 3?
Because that's
seriously
all we have time for. So
no, it's not.
3.
We have 3 minutes. We can do this, and we can be a little late. But here we go. Carrie says, by the way, if you have a first world problem, an equestrian problem, it's first world. No doubt about it.
And I noticed a lot of these today were real problems because of weather. And I think the worse the weather gets, the more real problems we have.
Yeah, no, we go for first world, like Carrie. This is a real problem that Carrie has. She says, I was supposed to be visiting my friend in North Carolina right now and riding her horses and visiting Tryon and all of that, but our flight got canceled because of a snowstorm, so we had to reschedule because of my upcoming European vacation. I can't go see her till May.
She have a job. Mm-hmm.
I did get a lot of really long ones. Like, people have some really dramatic long problems, and something like Meta, who she went to a fundraiser for her 4-H and bought like a gift package, but didn't realize that she also bought in that gift bag a diamond necklace. And she's like, what do I wear? How do I figure out what to wear with a diamond necklace? Oh my God.
You know, come on the cruise, our next cruise, and you can wear it on formal night.
Mm-hmm.
So now your diamond necklace will only cost you about $2,000.
Yeah. Kaylin says, I moved my horse to a barn with an indoor, and it saves me an hour of driving since it's on my way home from work. But now I have no excuse not to go to the gym because I have all this new free time. You know what I'd say, Caitlin? Obviously, get a second horse. Okay, thanks. Matt said, this is funny. I did read a lot of these to Chad ahead of time, and he really appreciated this one. Matt says, yesterday the horses did not want to eat their hay. So before work, I had to jump in the bobcat and take out a new round bale. And once I put the new bale out, they started eating the old bale. Oh, yeah. And then, wait, hold on. This is Matt's wife, Beth, I think. And apparently Matt went and bought a foaling cam, even though they're about to have baby goats. And she's like, I'm so busy watching the camera at work, I can't like get any of her job done. So that couple is really sad. You should be very careful. And then Jessica, I'm having the hardest time finding the right instructor to take lessons with because there's so many to pick from. And they're all so close. Where does she live in Florida?
Mm-hmm. She must.
She must. Yeah, she does. Kayla says that for the first time in my life, I have a real paid proper show jump type groom. And normally I do all the barn work. And she yelled at me yesterday for helping too much and told me to go home.
You know, that probably happens more often than not.
Yeah. Okay, hold on. Now I think I have possibly... the two, did I not screenshot those? Hold on, I have to find these because I have possibly the two best of all time, and I was saving them for last, but now I've lost them. So just talk amongst yourselves for a second. Here it is. Okay, got it. I read these to Chad, and he said these were the two best.
Okay.
In preparation for a long day at a cold, this is Leah. In preparation for a long day at a cold horse show yesterday, we like layered up with long johns and wool socks. And then we got to the show only to find out that the indoor was heated. That might be my favorite ever. But Hillary's is really good too. Because Chad was like, that's a thing. That's a thing. Okay. Hillary says, yesterday was so cold that the battery of my heated vest died before I was finished the barn. Hold on. It keeps going. And then I had an hour and a half to go before getting in the car and turning on my heated seats.
Do you remember the days when we didn't have electric vests and had to just freeze?
I've never had an electric vest. I didn't really know that was a thing. But what I am complaining about still is that I have this awesome little convertible. And Chad, he thinks I'm ridiculous because I will drive around with the top down. Like the day it snowed, after it stopped snowing, I put the top down and like drove around. And I drive with like a beanie and gloves and a scarf. Like I'm, you know, I like am dressed for the winter in my car. He's like, you could just put the top up. I'm like, no, the top has to be down. But here's the problem. I don't have a heated steering wheel. It like drives me crazy. Can I get a heated steering wheel? I have heated seats. So why can't my hands are cold?
I know they make those, but I've never had one. Not even in a rental.
My truck has it. How I'm spoiled. Yeah. You hit the remote start and starts up and the steering wheel heated just kicks right on. It's awesome. And now I'm like spoiled. I want a heated steering wheel in my car. And I know I used that one before, but
glove
it really,
makers
really
must
bothers
hate
me.
That.
You're still going to wear gloves. So, but the problem is like, typically if your hands are cold, you would like put them under your butt. Like one hand hold the steering wheel and then you sit on your other hand and then you switch. But mine's a stick shift. I have to have two hands. I can't even text and drive anymore, Glenn.
Do you have the last stick shift left? No, not in Oklahoma. You wouldn't have the last. Everybody there would have a stick shift.
I have the newest
stick shift. Oklahoma guys would have a stick shift. Yeah,
I have the newest year of a stick shift, probably. I love my car. It's a, what do they call it? Millennial theft, you know, theft protection. Proof. Theft yeah, protection.
That makes sense. All right, let's go to Deanne from Horse Nation. Get her on here.
Hi, how's it going?
Good.
What's up, girl? How are things in on Horse Nation world?
You know what? They are going well. As I was waiting for you to call me up, I was looking at, you know, an article on cowboy dressage and just trying to keep all of our horses in a row.
Let's talk a little bit about one of the first articles that you have. You know, it's wintertime and I've seen a lot of videos of people ski-joring. Ski-joring?
Oh, yeah. I always say ski-joring, but I'm not sure.
Ski-joring. Ski-joring. I don't know. Whatever it is. And you've, I saw this title of the article and it made me think of that. And it's an article about things skiers and riders have in common.
Yeah, so I want to say I'm an avid skier. It would be more correct to say that I used to be an avid skier.
True. Same.
And so, you know, my 50 plus days a year and multiple trips to Colorado seem to have gone by the wayside with twins. But that said, I was riding the other day and just, I don't even know. I was, you know, doing circles in the arena and spiraling and doing all the things on my horse. And I went, you know, this is a lot like skiing. And I've thought that before. And so I went, aha, let's write an article about that.
So what are some of the, let me just stop and say, never again use the gif of Atreyu pulling Artax in the Swamp of Sadness because it makes me cry.
Well, isn't that like one of the most traumatizing scenes from childhood?
That is the most traumatizing. I had to get a white pony after that so I could save it. Glenn, have you seen the Neverending Story?
No.
Okay, look at this article.
I'm
and
seeing
look,
the gif.
Okay. That's Atreyu, and he's trying to find the cure to save the princess, and he's riding his horse through the Swamp of Sadness, and Artax, spoiler alert, goes under the mud and drowns and dies.
Yeah, like moments after this gif, the horse goes under and
literally,
he dies,
and then dies.
It cuts to Atreyu, like, sitting on the edge of the swamp and crying, and it's horrible and traumatizing, and the worst thing that you see is like a 4-year-old watching the Neverending Story.
And Deanne got a big kick out of terrorizing everybody and traumatizing everybody with it in this article again.
And I won't lie, anytime I'm discussing mud and horses, I'm probably going to use this gif. Like, it's one of my go-tos.
But he's screaming, if you can see, he's saying, Artax, please! Artax, please! Oh, God, it haunts me. I haven't seen that movie in 25 years. Why do I know all that? Okay, moving past that, mud season. Yeah, some of so it's just an article that's full of great gifts. And
I love the first one. We're broke because skiers and horse people are broke. If you do both, you're really broke.
Well, and right, and I feel like people have this total misconception, like, oh, if you ski, you must have a lot of money, or, oh, if you have horses, you must have a lot of money. And, like, to be fair, if you are able to participate in these hobbies, you probably aren't food insecure, right? So, like, there's a certain amount of comfort to be able to do these things. That said, like, we're not all rolling in it. Most of us are spending all of our money on our horses or our skiing or what have you.
And I would like to point out that I fed my horses when I was younger and I was food insecure in my 20s. So I've been on both sides of that. And you know what? The horses always got everything first because I was super poor and would eat ramen noodles, you know, things like that. So, yeah, the horses will, you know, you're just not going to make a whole bunch of money off of them. How?
I love number three. Your hips don't lie, because with either
that main thing is that we're all broke. And yeah, what was that?
I love number three. Your hips don't lie. That's a good one.
Well, and honestly, that's what made me, what was the impetus for the article, is I was riding around the arena. I was sitting the trot, and I rarely do that well. And for whatever reason, I was having a nice, pleasant ride. My hips were moving from side to side and doing what
they were supposed to do. You're like, I'm freaking Shakira.
Right. And here we are in this whole like Super Bowl halftime show aftermath. So I start thinking start singing Shakira because that's how that works. And I was like, oh, there's another thing. Hips. Your hips are important in skiing. They're important in, you know, in riding. They don't lie.
Yeah, that's true. And in you. Yeah, it's fun. That's great. And some of the other things in this article, if you want to see how skiers and riders share the pain, you can go to horsenation.com. And then the next article that you wanted to highlight today, tell us a little bit about the eye of the beholder.
So the inspiration for this came or has come a couple of times in conversations with my friends. And I have one friend who kind of always likes to look at a horse and be like, but it's not cute. Like, why would you buy it? And I sort of laugh because I really do think that horses that maybe someone doesn't just look at and get an immediate wow factor, like when they're ridden well, it's amazing what they can become, right? Like when they're in frame and they're on the bit and like they're driving from behind, even kind of the most plain horse that somebody wouldn't immediately be like, that's a beautiful horse, like let's use that one in a photo shoot, becomes really pretty impressive. And I used my mare as an example, and I feel really, really guilty saying these things because I love her dearly and I think she's beautiful, but like she has a super crooked face. She like is a little jacked up. And I did have somebody one time be like, what's wrong with your horse's face?
And none of your business. What's wrong with your kid's face?
Yeah, right. Leave her alone. She's mine. But you know, I'm not a fabulous rider, but when I ride and we look like we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, people are always like, oh yeah, that's a really nice horse. She moves really well. And I'm like, man, you're not sitting up here. Nobody doesn't. But, but you know, there's just something to be said for like a well-muscled, well-fed horse where, again, even if it's sort of your plain Jane, that under the right circumstances, they can all look like a common nag in the field, right? But you feed them well, you train them well, you build their muscles well, and they look good.
5 out of the 7 horses on my property are bay with like a minimal star. Like 5 of them. It's ridiculous. I walk outside, I'm like, this is the plainest farm ever in the world of horses. So I get it. I totally get it. And you know what? Like all of a sudden you put them all together and you put their boots on and you're riding them and they're so pretty.
They really are. Or even again, in like good nutrition, if you go to that article and you scroll down to the pictures, this was my friend's like ugly duckling horse. And in these pictures, the horse, the before pictures, the horse is 4. And you're like, oh my gosh, that thing looks like it's one step away from the ground.
Wait. That little crusty looking.
Yes.
Is the bottom picture?
That and then that same bay, like if you scroll where it says BB before, after 1 month. And then you see that the bay, like that really nice picture.
No, that's not the same horse.
Yes,
no way. No way. Yes. Are you kidding me? And oh my God, yes. You guys got to see this.
Yeah, it's impressive.
It's incredible.
But and we've all done it. I mean, I've rescued, obviously, Scooter was on death's bed. Jamie's had, I mean, look at the horses you're getting in now. You probably, you know, if you looked at some of them that you're getting in now for training, Jamie, you'd go, okay. But then, you know, after you develop them and get them going, they're like, oh, this is a pretty cool horse, you know?
Yeah. I've felt that about many of them. So it is true, you know, and getting to know them makes them, it's just like dating a guy. You're like, meh, he's okay. And then when you hang out with him, you're like, he's really funny. And all of a sudden he becomes more attractive. Right. You know, like it's kind of like that.
I'm glad I had that going for me because I wasn't getting a date otherwise. So.
I was going to say, or it works in reverse, right? Like you see somebody that you want to date. They're like super attractive. And then you get to know them and you're like, meh, I don't know, man. Your lobes are uneven. I'm out.
Yep, exactly.
I told you, I went out with a guy who like worked out. He had the hottest body ever. I mean, ridiculous. And we go out to dinner and all he talked about was how many chicken breasts he eats a day to keep it up, the protein and blah, 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 blah. I'm like, okay, I'm not dating a guy that looks like Thor ever again, except for Thor because he's perfect. But anyway, there's a reason they have all those muscles. It's because they time their chicken breast.
The right, eye of the beholder, right. Looking beyond what is to see what a horse can be. And that's an article on horsenation.com right now. So thank you, Dan, for joining us again. And you're doing some good writing over there. Keep it up.
All right. Thank you. You guys have a good day.
All right. Bye.
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 Well, that's it for our show today. I do have a happy story I'd like to do. I don't know if you have one. It's fine if you don't, but I got to get mine in. So did we talk about the tortoise that they brought to the Galapagos Islands?
I don't. I've read the article, and I do have a happy story as well.
All right, good. So back in 1977, there were less than 20 tortoises left on the Galapagos Islands. I didn't know that. And they really wanted to repopulate because that's what the islands were known for. Yeah. So they ended up bringing this turtle, this great big tortoise, over, and they call him Super Diego.
Diego,
because there were only 14 giant tortoises when Super Diego got there, and his job was to populate the island. That's his job. They brought him over because he was at San Diego Zoo and he had a really prolific sex drive. Apparently he was a horny turtle.
Wow.
And so they thought, well, maybe a horny turtle will do the job over there. And apparently it did, because now there are over 2,000 turtles and 40% of them are his offspring. So he's responsible for 800 turtles.
Dude,
that's a busy dude right there. They apparently, lady tortoises found him extremely attractive for some reason. They're not sure why.
He was funny. He was funny. Yeah, that was it.
He wasn't good looking, but he was funny.
Yeah.
He is now over 100 years old and he's having trouble mating. So apparently sex drive is still there. Viagra isn't working. So they're going to retire him as a mating turtle. He'll be removed from the breeding center and live out the rest of his life on the island where he was born. So he's actually going back to the island and going to be living there at the Galapagos Islands, just hanging out with the rest, with all of his children.
Way to go, buddy. Way to go. Grandpa! That's great. My happy
800 grandkids all wanting Christmas presents.
Grandpa. Let's see. My story comes from Nunam Iqua, Alaska. Nunam Iqua, Alaska. Four boys, the ages of 2 to 14, were out with the 14-year-old kind of leading the charge. Were out and they were getting on their snowmobiles, and they were out snowmobiling, and I don't know what happened. They got completely lost, and apparently, and the quote is, "In winter times, our storms are very bad, and sense of direction is not to be played with." They were on a snow machine ride, and they did not return home. And this was Sunday at 6:30 p.m. They were reported missing. And again, this is Alaska, and it's a blizzard. And there are four boys who went out and didn't come back. Well, they were just found alive. They were found alive the next day. I think it was about 30 hours later. And guess what they did? They dug a snow hole. This is some tough kids, man. And they huddled inside the snow hole and positioned themselves in a way that the 2-year-old wouldn't be exposed. They were protecting the baby, and they saved everybody, all in a blizzard in Alaska. All of them survived and no problems. Some tough kids, but also take care of that baby. Take care of that baby. So they're all fine.
If they didn't die in the blizzard, mom would kill them if something happened to the babies.
Right? it was really, really amazing. And so they the officers were called after the boys were 5 hours late. And they said at least three were appropriately dressed for the weather. What about the other two? What were y'all doing? Why weren't you appropriately dressed?
They're out there in short sleeves.
Did you know they said that this at this place, they had wind gusts as high as 60 miles an hour, wind chills as low as negative 45 below. Can cause frostbite in as little as 10 minutes to exposed skin.
They were out in their t-shirts going, it's not too bad today.
It's nice out.
Let's go snowmobiling.
They all survived. They were cold and hungry, apparently, when they came home.
I bet they were. Wow. I'm glad they all got out. Yeah. Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us today. We really appreciate it. Tomorrow, we have the endurance episode. And then coming up later in the week, Mary Kitzmiller will be here. If you missed it, we had a brand new episode last week of Stacey Westfall and also the driving show. So go back and check those out. And we're going to have all kinds of new shows coming out on the Horse Radio Network this month. We're on a regular schedule now, back to normal. Except I thought we're going to get a whole like 3 or 4 weeks together that we won't have any. You and I will be together doing a show. It'll be the first time in months. Nope. I get called for jury duty next Monday. So there we go.
Yeah, that blows. But I'll be here with somebody.
With somebody.
Anybody want to co-host, send me an email.
All right. Let's hope I don't get picked for something. I'm just going to say they're all guilty. They're always all guilty. We'll think that'll work.
I strongly believe in the death penalty, sir. Yeah. This is a larceny and theft. I don't care.
I'll get some like corporate boring case that goes on for days. You watch. Ugh.
Say you just have to. You're the primary caretaker for Jen. Bay neuter gal, everybody. Have a good one.
See, the older you get, that primary caretaker thing gets less.
You're like, I need a primary caretaker.
Yeah, exactly.